You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by comedian and lawyer. I'm going to say lawyer because we're talking about legal stuff after 1 a.m.
Sure.
We want to know why everyone's checking in at Standing Rock and about these emails, what Comey said last week. Also joining us is Mark Carman, who leaves for Cleveland in just a few hours. Are you excited about seeing the game? I mean, like, you've seen now so many of them. You've been at all the games.
It's so bizarre because I've been going every day, right? And then it's like, hey, man, why don't you take a breath here and, like, realize that you're going to Cleveland.
You're going to Cleveland.
For Game 6 and 7 of the World Series. I'm really thankful to be going, and thanks to Todd Manley.
I'm very glad they're sending you.
Yeah, and everybody who's getting me out there, Dave Bennett included. So, but it's like, oh, my God. One of the two is going to happen. I'm either going to be in that stadium when they lose.
Which is still better than being at Wrigley. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's going to be super painful. I'm going to be sick if that happens. And then, I'm going to be there when they win.
Which is going to be unbelievable.
Right. So, one of the two.
You need to take a selfie. You are not a selfie taker. I want you to practice taking selfies.
Okay.
I need a calm selfie.
Okay.
Snapchat
win the World Series. Yes. I know that Paul wanted to talk a little bit about Hayward. You guys had a little bit of a discussion last week about the way he's been playing. I have to say that foul ball and those fans backing off was like the parting of the Red Sea. Wasn't it great? Everyone's like, oh, no.
One guy did reach, but I think everybody else kind of
tackled him.
I'm a big fan. I've just been defending him for a long, long time. And
why?
Well, for one thing, we got him from the Cardinals, which destroyed their morale for a long time, in my opinion. He's a great defender. He struggled, but everyone that's come to Chicago struggles in their first year, I feel. So I think next year he's going to bat 300.
That was like a snarling inhale. Like,
there are some players that come here and struggle their first year and go on to play a lot better. Moises Alou is one Cubs outfielder that was brutal his first season.
Yes.
And then was very, very good. So it's possible that will happen with Jason Hayward. His swing is just so wonky, for lack of a better word, that I wonder if he's ever going to turn it around to the level of which they're paying him. Even if they got half of the value, that'd be cool at this point. But if you look at his numbers, he's never really been some dominant, great player. He's been a good player, and he wasn't that this year. I like that. Let me just say this about Jason Hayward. I'll just say this. I've talked to him a million times this year. Always available, extremely professional, great teammate.
These are all like couple, nice dresser, smells exactly good. Like, these are all things you tell people.
Holds
like
the door open for women, very courteous.
He is a legit good person.
However,
he has been less than stellar on the field, as we all know.
But he got benched and he came back and got two hits yesterday, I believe. And he's got more hits than Javier Baez in the World Series. So.
Okay.
All right. So who do we have on the mound tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're sending Jake Arrieta, who pitched great, or at least very well in Game 2. Mm-hmm. Certainly the Cubs would take that outing again. He spun a no-hitter into the sixth inning. So they would take that. And maybe he could go a little bit deeper and give up the same amount, give up a couple hits. That's fine. But no runs is sweet. And the big thing is they got to get to Josh Tomlin. And I think they will.
And we haven't seen him in the World Series?
No, we saw him in Game 3.
That was Friday night?
Yeah, we didn't hit him. There's a great story around Josh Tomlin. His dad tragically paralyzed from the waist down. They're hoping that he will walk again, but his dad from California was able to make it to Game 3 at Wrigley Field, so that was a big deal, pitching in front of his father.
It is great.
Yeah. So,
is he going to be at the next game?
I don't know. Since you just said it like that, it's true. I would hope that he's not there. We don't have that emotion.
Yeah.
But great. Listen, there are things more important than baseball. But I think they can hit Josh Tomlin. I think they can, and I think they will. And if they don't, then we'll have to deal with the fact that they didn't win. They came up short in the World Series, but I think they got a great chance tomorrow night. There's no reason not to be confident. I'm sure they feel extremely capable and ready to go for Game 6.
Well, I'm excited. I'll be looking for you in the you're going to be in the media booth, allegedly.
I will be sending you lots of pictures, Patty, just because you just motivated me with the selfie.
Anything before we let Carm go? Anything else you want to know about the games?
No, I think we're going to win tomorrow. I'm very confident.
I am too. I think we're going to win tomorrow.
We saw him already, and now that was the first time they saw him, and now they can see him again and see what happens.
And then Kershaw again on Wednesday.
Not Kershaw, but
what, the Dodgers?
Corey Kluber.
What's wrong with me?
Kluber.
Kershaw was the Dodgers. I knew it was someone we don't like.
Yeah. Both
Kershaw,
people that Joe Buck Kluber. Talks about all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's because they got married, right?
They're both K's.
No, it's not.
They're both really good.
They're both really well, because we were sort of like, oh, we're going to see Kershaw again. And it was that game that was 1-0 on game two at Wrigley. And everyone was like, oh, we're going to see him again. And we were fine. I'm hoping that with Kluber, we have but this will be the third time we see him in the World Series.
Yeah. And we scored on him in the second time. We just gave it right back up with John Lackey. Well, John Lackey's not going on game seven. It'll be Kyle Hendricks if they get there. Hendricks is great. Did not pitch well his last time out. Still didn't give up any runs. Battled his way through. Hopefully that's not fatigue. I am slightly concerned about that. But hopefully it's not that. And he just had an off night. And he'll be ready to go in game seven.
All right. All zen. And they were, oh, by the way, they're. I didn't get to see all their Halloween costumes. I guess they were encouraged to dress for Halloween. Did we like the...
I actually haven't seen the pictures either. I was okay. So focused on the Bears tonight.
Lise has.
I follow all of them on Instagram. And Addison Russell's was my favorite. He and his son, who's like maybe 1 or 2, were both Ninja Turtles. And it was like so cute.
So cute. By the way, never ask a child dressed in a Ninja Turtle costume which turtle he is, because they will be very dismissive and... Leonardo. Yeah, I don't know how I'm supposed to know that. You don't have any letters on you. You're not carrying the weapon of choice for Leonardo, which I'm not sure which one that is, but still. Never ask a child dressed as a Ninja Turtle.
Good advice.
Which turtle he is. Just go, great costume.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Yes, keep it simple.
Do simple better, a la Joe Madden.
Do simple, do better. Carm, have a great time. Safe travels. We look forward to you coming back when we are the World Series champions.
I will talk to you from Cleveland, Patty.
Oh, I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Talk to me tomorrow night?
I will talk
to you. Am I jumping in on True Blue Playoffs Plus coverage? Brought to you by Wintrust.
I assume
you are. The home of checking for the Cubs. And Sloan, water connects us.
Oh, let's just have a great time.
All those things. Have a great time. Let's take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're going to go do some live music. Sorry, Lise, sometimes when we have live musicians, what we'll do is welcome them in studio and invite them to play. Are we good? Are we good to go, Bob? Bob Ferguson is in studio making sure all of our levels are good. Or do you want to wait? You let me know. You give me a thumbs up when you're ready. All right, let's try it then. We have in studio with us, of course, joining us is Paul Farvar, who's writing Sidecar. Coming up after the 1 a.m. news, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in North Dakota, as well as the letter that FBI Director Comey came out with last week. We want to know why everyone's checking in, first of all, to North Dakota at Standing Rock. And we want to find out what these emails that were part of the Anthony Weiner investigation might have to do with everything else. But you know what? It's Music Monday, so let's go on to that. Eric Crowder is in studio. Here he is performing What You Want.
I can feel my back in breaking from all the way I seem to toll. Time is getting shorter. I'm only getting older, and my heart is growing cold. I just can't keep on pretending. I can barely be a lover. Show can't be just friends. Play this game before it. Notice how it goes when the morning comes. You better be gone. What you want, I can't give. So just take what you can't give. For tonight, anything. Just can't be your everything. You mix up my attention for affection. I'm trying to break your heart. Won't be satisfied until I call you mine. But my lines were drawn clear from the start. I can't seem to shake you loose. addicted to the love we make, but that's much I can do. So soon you say you love me. Now I can't claim the same, I just need dear company. Oh, what you want, I can't give. So just take what you can give for tonight. How many things just can't be your everything.
My mic on. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in pretty late. That's Eric Crowder from Music Monday. And thank you so much for joining us again and bringing me this lovely glassware that you brought.
You're welcome.
Very cool. And what have you been up to since the last time we saw you?
Lots.
We like lots.
Got a couple been working on a couple projects throughout the summer. Been working on getting this new record out that's coming out next week. Touring, playing, writing.
Do you have any upcoming gigs that people should know about?
Well, in Chicago, next Thursday is the release show at Martyrs. So
wonderful.
There's that. And then I'm going on a little tour, going to Indy and Louisville and New York. And then taking a little
interesting
break.
Route. That's good routing. Indy, Louisville,
well,
and then
not it's not all one shot. It's
say,
on
all
separate right. days. I'm flying out to New York.
Oh, there you go. Oh, good. Good, because I say that's a haul.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Not that it's not, you know,
I
see the country.
I had to do Cleveland to New York one time because I had
boo
a show
Cleveland.
Just this week. Just this week, boo Cleveland.
Yeah, I had to go all the way from Cleveland to New York, and that was a jaunt. So that was not a good time to drive by yourself.
No, that's that'll take the wind out of your sails.
You had to be at the gig at 3 p.m., and then you got to leave from Cleveland. It's a hike.
Just a little bit. We are in the Allstate Showcase studio for Music Monday. Bob Ferguson, of course, as always, making the bands sound as good as they sound in the studio, making sure it sounds that great on the airwaves. And Paul Farvar joins me in studio. And you guys have known each other?
Yeah, I booked him. His band played with my bands for years for She Shamboy Productions.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So I saw him in the window when I come walking in. I'm like, what's Paul doing here, man?
That was a whole other life ago.
I figured it was the comedian thing.
Yeah.
The comedian thing. Is that what they call it? The comedian?
The comedian thing.
I don't know. It's like a musician thing, too. You know people.
Yeah, see,
yeah,
like,
it's a circle.
He knows me from my previous life that you guys have denied me my rights as a former musician on this show. I've offered up my services to other bands.
I can't even pronounce the kind of drum that you say you play. What is it called?
It was a djembe, but I also played guitar and bass.
The djembe.
Eric has witnessed it. And
you never bring your instruments with you. You always offer to join the musicians in studio.
Bob is going to tell me when someone
last minute. You got to go renegade, man. Just bring it in and just start playing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I'll do.
You know what this needs? This needs a little backup bass. Yeah.
I might just do it, but what I'm gonna do next time is Bob's gonna tell me who's playing, and then I'll look up the band. I'll be like, oh, they're missing a djembe or whatever I can play.
Exactly.
And I'll be like, oh, they didn't tell you that I'm playing with you guys, and we'll just spring it on them.
I think that works.
I think that's fair. I've done my time.
I want to see how a band adjusts to having a surprise musician join them. I think that that's a test of their, you know, their resilience, their patience.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely a test of their patience, tolerance. Yes.
And to make the person look good. It's almost like an improv team. They've got to make me look
good.
As part of their collective.
Like that was supposed to happen.
It'll be part of the game. We'll make it a game show type thing.
I
like, what
like
band
that.
Can make Paul good? .com. That's going to be, we're going to trademark that, Bob.
Band can
and
make
some,
Paul
get
good.
Go Daddy
Sound
morning,
like he
man.
Belongs.
Exactly. Who has the resilience, the patience, and the talent to make Paul sound good? We're working on that. We're gonna have to trademark that, patent it, whatever.
I think it works in all aspects of my life. It's not just band.
Make Paul good.
Long hashtag, by the way.
We don't have that kind of licensing here. More after this on 720 WGN.
And the hours I keep what she meant to me. I was bound to see that her love for me was real. Got me holding on, but her loving just was strong enough to make her stay. Make her say she won't stay. Make her say.
That's Eric Crowder with Brooklyn, and that's off of his new CD, which is being released next week at Martyrs, yes?
Yep.
And what day is that show up, Martyrs?
November 10.
I need to write things down so I can remember them. November 10th at Martyrs. Where can people get ticket information?
Either on my website or at Martyrs, so either ericcrowder.com or martyrslive.com.
And tell me a little bit more about the glassware that you brought. I know that you designed some of
your
own. Yeah,
so we talked about it the last time. I'm a big bourbon fan. I'm a big bourbon drinker, and when I did my Kickstarter for this current record I put out, you got to try to think of interesting incentives.
Right.
And I had a buddy of mine who did kind of like a similar thing. I'm like, I wonder if I can make my own whiskey glasses. So I took like the artwork from the record and I wrapped it around the whole glass with my logo on it. I'm like, that'll be kind of cool. So I kind of mocked it up, sent it, found a company that made them. And I'm like, let's get these made. And I thought I had to use it as an incentive on my Kickstarter package. And people really dug them. So I'm like, I'm going to make more of these and just sell them at shows and stuff.
And how do they do at shows?
They do really, actually do they really fun. Well.
Yeah.
People kind of, depending on where I play, because yeah, people are kind of hesitant. They're like, how am I going to hold a store of glass home? So I started buying boxes and sticking them in the boxes.
And how much do you sell the glasses for at shows?
15.
15. That's pretty good. I mean, that's how much I sell shirts for sometimes, or 20.
Shoot, you go to Bourbon Trail and go to like Woodford Reserve, or you go to like Four Roses and it's like a glass like that with a little tiny little Four Roses label on it and they're like $25. And I'm
right.
Like, that's the cost of a whole bottle of liquor, dude.
Right.
Yeah,
I just drink out of the bottle for that cost.
I like the weight of those too, but this is a very nice glass.
Yeah, it's a cool glass.
I'm very particular about like the weight of the glass. I like.
It's funny because Sam Panionovich was here a few minutes ago, and I was talking about how I like to have the weight of the glass makes a difference in how you enjoy
a
beverage.
I totally agree.
Sometimes.
By the way,
I was mentioning earlier to you guys where I watched the game last night. I watched it at Marie's Pizza and Liquors on Lawrence Avenue, and it was such a fun night. And they have the entire array of glassware. So I was noticing that I had my little
right there.
Yeah, I like that glass for my. I had Drambuie last night. Am I saying that correctly? Drambuie.
You are.
Drambuie.
I watch your Facebook live feed, or I watch Elliot's.
Elliot's. I did one. I did one as well. We were having a great time.
You were dancing, and I think you were dancing all the time. But that's how
I felt.
With
the music in my head.
Yeah.
Yes, I was dancing the whole time. Yeah, the music.
I was
stopped.
Like, is it on mute? I'm like, no, there's no music.
No, she's just dancing. Are you a Cubs fan, Eric? Okay, I'm gonna turn his mic off so we can carry on our conversation. Your mic is still on.
No, I'm not a big baseball fan. So it's
fair.
Like, I think it's awesome, like what the team is doing for the city and how it's like almost like how like the Bulls were doing years ago, like
sure.
The whole city to rally behind them and kind of like that whole bringing the city together. I'm just not a big baseball fan.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the Bulls because part and the Chicago. Look, we're always gonna talk about the Bears when we talk about championships. I know, and but this team is a little bit different in that like there aren't really stand. I mean, there have been star players like Arrieta had a great season last year. This year he's been consistent and he's still a great pitcher. But compared to what he was doing last year,
yeah.
I mean, is there a star on the, there isn't a Jordan or a Peyton.
Chris Bryant might be the MVP of
this season. Oh yeah,
this season. And
but less, even he struggled a little bit during the World Series.
He did. But I mean, overall, this team is just it's like the Bulls. It's a good analogy from the 90s. But
the excitement definitely and the history of it is. Yeah.
I mean, like, especially because you had him just keep repeating titles, so people just kept like again, let's do it again.
Well,
and the same thing
could happen here.
And the Hawks, absolutely, the organization is unbelievable. And I got to talk to some of the guys in the
I think when it was like that, those Hawks wins, those 2 years apart, where they just did for like hockey. Like,
right.
Now all of a sudden, like,
yeah.
People are like,
oh, yeah.
Watching hockey, like,
The energy level.
Cool. I was a fair weather Hawks fan. I'll definitely admit it. I can't even think about any sports right now. I mean, if you think
except for baseball.
Yeah, like the Bears game was today, and it was a big game. But like you're watching it, and every time they would show highlights of the Cubs game, I'm like, oh, they're talking about the Cubs again. Good. Like, I'm not ready for anything yet until this is over. Until Wednesday.
Well, it's just because that streak, you know. I mean, if they had been doing better and didn't have such that long history of being like these lovable losers kind of stuff, like, you know, maybe they wouldn't get the same thing. But now it's like, hey, man, it's been so long. This is the Cubs are like America's team, you know, because of WGN, how it's all over the country. You got Cubs fans everywhere.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's
so you got this. You got so many people rallying behind them.
Fans like, hey, everywhere.
Man. Oh, no. Yeah. No kidding. And we've also been the punchline in movies and on television shows, in monologues for decades, all kinds of we're just part of pop culture as being those losers. But as being fans that just never give up. Before we go to the news, we haven't talked about Halloween at all tonight. Thank you very much. Not sure if we touched on this, but why are we not allowed to watch the games at Wrigley Field? I heard about this a little bit earlier today. The city has announced that they will not be having the games at Wrigley, in part for the cost of security and, you know, the police presence. The city has decided it's not, a cost they want to bear.
Instead, you got to go to the bar and pay $200 to get in, right?
Stand outside.
But in Cleveland, I think the money that they're taking is all for charity. They're it was only like $5 or something, sort of negligible.
They could easily use that money to pay off our debts, Chicago's debts.
Another caller from the 847 says, Joe Buck earned a lot of respect last game. Go figure for his silence. He didn't interrupt Go Cubs Go.
I do agree with that. It seems like my tweets at him are working, that he's like, Paul's right.
I appreciate that. Your efforts have gone noticed.
Me and 100 million other fans, I believe, that have been...
they might not have put it as eloquently.
Yeah.
Did you... we're going to talk about Halloween probably after the news. We're going to hear another song from Eric Crowder, who is performing at Martyrs on November 10th for the release of his newest CD, which is called...
It is called... It's the second volume of an EP series I released called 2x4.
2x4. That always makes me feel like the taunt that I was, that was Patty 2x4, couldn't get through the bathroom door. You never were taunted like that?
What?
Lise? Esmeralda? I'm the only one that was ever called Fatty Patty 2x4, couldn't get through the bathroom door.
I call my cat that.
Okay.
I mean, you're on your own in that one.
Let's call those people that made fun of you.
And people wonder why I'm scarred. Yeah, I'm not allowed to call people.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No outgoing calls.
We could text them.
We can text them, yes. I think that's acceptable. I want to find out what everyone did for Halloween. We have so many things to talk about with only one more hour left. I feel crammed into this show, but that's all good. It's all good.
We can't talk about the Cubs anymore?
Yeah, we'll talk about the Cubs whenever we want to. I brought it back up. That was me. So after we have Standing Rock. It's still something we need to talk about. Do you know anything about the pipeline protests?
I mean, I know just as much.
Did you check in?
Did
you see all that on Facebook today?
I did that. I did, but it kind of, to me, I saw that and I didn't, like, what is this going on? Like, are all these people showing up there? I don't think that's happening. But then it's like, because things happen so fast on social media before you get
a viral
chance to understand, like,
what's happening?
What is this?
Just Google. Why is everyone checking in? That's what I did. Esmeralda, did you check into South Dakota?
Wouldn't
North Dakota?
Let me check in.
They closed it.
I'd hit the button and nothing would happen.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's just my phone.
Oh, maybe it's just your phone. Well, let's do
too
it
many
computer.
People. Maybe
so over six, by this afternoon, there were over 600,000 people had checked in.
Yeah, I know they were saying stuff like as police and military
they were using it to track down people. We're going to talk about that when we come back. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar, who's also been a music promoter, booker, musician. Well, you are a musician. I don't want to say formerly. That just all sounds...
Allegedly, yeah.
These are all on your resume.
On paper, I sound really good.
Well, excellent. In studio, you sound all right. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
Joining us in studio as well is Eric Crowder, who is performing on November 10th at Martyrs. And you can go to his website, ericcrowder.com. That's Eric with an A-A-R-Y-K, Crowder, traditional spelling with a C. And you can find out all about his music, learn about the wonderful glassware that he makes as well. And you can find those at his shows where he sells them live. And now he puts them in a box so you can take them home with you. You can go to my Facebook page live. I'm going to do a Facebook live video right now as he performs one of the songs from his track. I just threw away the song, but I know it's called One by One, and it's from his CD, 2x4.
Thank you. Oh, mother, mother, did you tell your sons and daughters you love them? They might not get another sunrise. Oh, mother, mother, what can we do to stop them hurting each other? We got too many mothers crying. One by one, lives are taken. Another thousand hearts start breaking, breaking. And oh, Father, Father, where have you been? He said you ain't been around since he was a little kid. Right now he could use your strong hand just to keep him in check. But instead he's using his to hurt what you could protect. One by one, lives taken. Another thousand hearts start breaking. What's going on? You know that we haven't got to change it. But I'm just one man. I cannot change it on my own. What can I do? What can I say? My views are from the outside in. Those who handle this every day. I'm just another opinion. One by one, life's taken. Another thousand hearts, all they start breaking. What's going on? You know that we haven't got to change it. But I'm just one man. I cannot change it. One by one, lives taken. Another thousand hearts, oh, they started breaking. What's going on? You know that we haven't got to change it. But I'm just one man. I cannot change it on my own.
Yeah! Eric Crowder with One by One. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio with Music Monday. And I love when somebody checks in on Facebook Live and they're like, is this live? I don't want to tease you, David Marmer, but yeah, that was that's the. I mean, you can go back and it'll say was live, but when it says Patty is live now, means I'm live.
I didn't know that either.
So oh, all right.
David then. And I are David learning and, things new.
All right, there you go. Again, Eric Crowder is at Martyrs on November 10th for the release of his new CD 2x4, and he is gonna. He also has his lovely glassware that you can buy at the shows as well. And can people buy these lovely? Rocks glasses on your website.
Yep.
And what else? What other? Oh, hold on. I'm watching my own Facebook Live video. What other kinds of glassware do you have available?
So I just got rocks glasses.
I like that. That's good. That's all. Typical, hey, typical go with what you know.
Yeah, I go with what I know. I primarily drink whiskey, so I have glasses to drink them out of. So.
Very cool. Come on over for the rest of our segment here before we find out more and you know, get your website and things like that. I do need to talk about. You would rather talk a little bit about the emails because you know more about the Comey, the FBI director's letter to Congress saying that there were more emails that they've discovered that were, he said in the letter are pertinent to his previous investigation.
Yeah, he's not supposed to comment on it, and he went ahead and did that. So it's frowned upon.
And yeah, why did he? I mean, what other reason is there? I mean, It's all speculation as far as his motives, because why we don't. Right. He's not saying why. He has said he did it because when he testified, he had told them that they were done investigating her emails. What were your thoughts on the earlier during his testimony and when he did his press conference and said that she had been careless? Is there a reason to make a press conference when someone's not being arrested? I would think that the FBI makes those kinds of sort of grand gestures and doesn't make comments. Being careless isn't a prosecutable or criminal thing. Careless is simply not great, not good. To many people, it's awful. But
yeah, they're like the police in any investigation. They
right.
handle, they gather the information, and the decisions are made by the Department of Justice. He went ahead and put his neck out there. He's like, yeah, she was careless, but I would not recommend prosecuting, which really has no say what he thinks one way or the other. And I think what he was trying to do, or at least there's speculation that he was trying to write what he did before to try to be non-political.
Because he was being accused, because Donald Trump came out and said that the FBI is in her pocket and they're doing whatever she wants and not prosecuting, yeah. Correct?
And the House, there were a lot of people in the House during the investigations that were criticizing him. Yeah, and I think he might have bowed to pressure. Nobody really knows, because people that were Eric Holder did an op-ed in the New York Times, and they're friends, and he said, it was really hard for me to write all this. It's really interesting what he said, but he said this: he's a good person, but he made a mistake. I mean, and that's coming from a friend of his. So it's really hard to see what's going on. I mean, my own speculation is that someone has a picture of him in a compromising space.
Wow.
And
but you're saying that there has to be something else at play here if he's
there is
going out. And they've had those emails from Anthony Weiner's laptop, which is, for people who are, you know, I mean, there's so much noise. So to the best of my understanding of what is happening, they are investigating Anthony Weiner for possible child porn as a result of some of the things that he had been sexting with somebody. And as a result, his wife, Huma, who is an aide on Hillary Clinton's, she's an aide or?
She's really high up. Yeah, she's like her.
A highly placed official on
right-hand
Hillary
man,
Clinton's.
Right-hand man, yeah.
So because they're married, they share a laptop. So in the process of investigating the emails that are pertinent to Anthony Weiner's investigation, they found emails that were also sent to Hillary Clinton's email server, but not ones that originated from Hillary Clinton's.
No, they found, they do believe that it came from that server or to or from the server. But
right.
That's a separate investigation. So the people who are doing the investigation at the federal level on Weiner's laptop then talk to the people that were doing the investigation on Hillary's and say, hey, we still have information. They were not supposed to comment on it in any way, shape, or form, and he did.
Weird.
So, and now those people were talking to the people that were doing Hillary's emails, and there was an overlap there.
And what the director's email has also said is he said he doesn't know what's in them, but because they relate to her email server is why he wants people to know that there are more emails for them to look
right.
at.
And he can't know what's in the emails because that's why they asked for a search warrant and to get that information. But nonetheless, people on both sides are now speculating as to what's in those emails, which is the whole point as to why you're not supposed to comment
right.
on it. And now, whatever side you are on this debate, it's wrong from a justice point of view. And being a lawyer, I do get it that you're not supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to comment on stuff that's ongoing.
Meaning that the investigation isn't what's improper for the FBI. That's, you know, follow all the leads, follow all the evidence,
which is what they're supposed to do.
Yes, and they are doing. But yes. Saying that you're doing that and sort of casting this sort of like huge shadow of doubt during the last 10 days of an election is bizarre.
It's never happened before.
Never.
It's not supposed to happen.
What happened? I heard that there was, you and I talked about this on Saturday night about.
Anything we talked about Saturday night, I don't recall. Okay. But okay. I mean, you do recall that we were in a very tender moment after the Cubs loss. And,
yes.
And
vulnerable.
Very, very vulnerable.
Very
but
vulnerable.
Go ahead.
No,
remind
I think that the Friday before George H.W.'s campaign with Bill Clinton, when they were going neck and neck, and it was a very close race as well.
Yes.
That there was information about his knowledge that George H.W. Bush knew that Reagan had traded arms for hostages.
That he had knowledge of it, but that wasn't an ongoing investigation. That was a past investigation that somehow somehow leaked, and it wasn't from...
It was leaked, but it wasn't an official announcement from the director of the FBI. So that's how that's different.
100% political. Someone leaked it intentionally for an October surprise, which is likely going to... There's going to be other October surprises if history...
It's November now. Could they all stop? Could they all just... aren't you just tired? Are you making me...
It's just a giant circus, man. And it's like, I'm a big fan of the phrase... Anybody who wants to be in charge of everybody probably shouldn't be.
I don't know how you get someone to be in charge then. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to have an unwilling leader.
That should be doing the job generally don't want it. You know, they're like, nope, we don't want these jobs. Nope,
I'm trying to think of anybody in recent memory that seemed like they didn't want the job. They got the job.
You have to be at a certain level of narcissism to want to be president of the free world. And everybody is.
And to be a comic, I feel like I have a little bit of certain jobs. You 100%. Have to be a narcissist.
But we're talking about stages on a smaller level.
Exactly.
But I mean, yeah.
But I mean, I get that. I mean, what I mean by that is that you have to accept that there are people who think highly of themselves in order to do the job that they do, to stand in front of somebody and say, I know what's right. It doesn't mean that they are right. It means that they have to believe very strongly that they're right. And you know, a lot of people, I know, because both sides can't be right on everything. They simply can't, whether it's about the economy or reproductive rights or how to handle immigration. I mean,
everyone has their own issues that they're going to vote on, and then that's their own right. That's why America is so great, allegedly. I just like saying allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly, because you're an attorney. He didn't say that because he doubts it.
No, but
Lise, how are you doing in there with texts? She's like, I don't know if I want to share any of these right
Nobody
now.
Cares anymore about it.
He didn't say that America is great, allegedly. He's saying that people say that America is great.
That's what makes us great. I think there's a lot of things that make us great, but that's one thing is the right to vote.
Yes.
But
and people, and I hope that people are coming out and voting. I know the turnout for early voting has been very strong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go do that. The 16th district, if you live in the 45th ward, our early voting place is the 16th district. And I believe it's now open until 7 p.m. Before Election Day.
You could also early vote downtown if you work downtown. There's the 69 West Washington place where you can vote if you're a suburban Cook County. And there's an annex where the old Walgreens used to be on Dearborn and Washington where you can vote. And now this week it's till 7. Last week it was only till 5.
Yeah, they changed it. I think the times changed today to longer voting hours.
There were some lines, but they moved pretty quickly from what I'm told. I'm going to do that tomorrow. If I don't go to Cleveland.
That's I'm planning to vote tomorrow as well. I'm not going to Cleveland, but
I'm thinking about it. So if someone wants to drive me, I'll drive back.
There you go. I'm telling you, you should just take Amtrak.
Yeah.
All right.
You should have just climbed in Carmen's suitcase.
Well, he's staying for 2 days.
Yeah, he's staying longer than
I got to be back. I got other commitments. Mm-hmm. Although all my shows got canceled that were, and rightfully so. You can't compete.
Live shows? Yeah.
Comedy shows.
You can't compete with that.
Oh, yeah. I've already had 2 shows canceled because of Cubs games.
Yeah.
The playoffs games.
As they
too.
Should. Yeah.
Yeah.
The playoffs, like, it was the one, that first Saturday, and then 2 weeks following the next time, like, great.
I always book, like, especially in Wrigleyville, you know it's going to happen for booking bands from before.
Shoot, Wrigleyville, the entire city. The entire metro area.
Right. Yeah. No, there's nothing getting done, and
they
people
have
are sleep deprived.
The Cubs game's on.
Yeah, exactly. And well, you have no danger of that for your gig on November 10th at Martyrs, which is his release party, Eric Crowder's release party for 2x4. You can go there. Go to his website, Eric Crowder. It's A-R-Y-K Crowder, C-R-O-W-D-E-R. Find out more about that show on the 10th, as well as his schedule coming up. He'll be traveling. People can hear us all over the country, so maybe they'll find you in Indianapolis, Louisville.
I'll hook some sweet gigs up from this show.
There you go. Well, that's possible. Hang out for a selfie before you go.
You boost to fill up that glass.
Oh, there you go.
The case.
Sure, we could do that too. Again, that's Eric Crowder. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, how can people find out more, like on Twitter, social media? What would you like to share?
Due to the fact of how uniquely my first name is spelled, I pretty much got the lockdown on all social media, just slash whatever social media you're on, A-R-Y-K Crowder.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us again. And again, got to get a selfie with you before you go.
Appreciate it.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Paul Farvar. He's a comedian, a lawyer, musician, producer, promoter, What do you prefer? Do you want just a...
And single.
Sidecar. And single. He hosts his own podcast called Singles Only. You can go to iTunes and check those out. I co-host a couple of those. He's graciously given me the opportunity to hang out and just stare at single people going, how do you guys do this? You all seem so miserable.
Yeah. What is wrong with you guys?
It's great. We've talked to divorced people. We've talked to people who just come out of long-term relationships. Yeah. Elise, are you single?
I'm so single.
You can come on the show.
You can come on the show and be a
guest.
I'd
love to. Yeah.
You might want to listen to it first to see if you like
questions. Ask questions. Yeah.
Like what kind of questions?
We talk about it all. How you meet people, what you're, you know, sometimes we ask about
dating life.
Yeah. And then, you know, and that goes.
Or lack thereof.
Exactly. And we talk a little bit about, you know, the physicality part of it. I think is the right way to put it.
Sometimes we have to get to the root of the problem to see why they're single and stuff like that.
I thought one of the guests that you had last week, Rebecca,
yes,
was really interesting. She was the first woman we had had on the show. So that not that you've ever had, but that I've interviewed with you.
Okay, she had some good outlook.
She had really some good outlook, and she had nice things to say about the men in Chicago. Esmeralda might disagree with us, obviously she's got someone who we all admire and adore, right?
We like Colin.
I like him very much. But previously you had done some online dating that was...
Troublesome.
Let's say it's troublesome.
Not successful.
It was no go.
Because Rebecca was saying that men in Chicago know how to lock down a date, was the way she was putting it.
Well, to give background, she's from Los Angeles and she's in Hollywood, so she's dealing with a lot of people in L.A.
Born here, though.
Right.
On the North Shore.
And she was comparing dating in L.A. versus Chicago, and people there are a little allegedly more flaky and things like that. In Chicago, we're more, we have our stuff together.
Have you, Lisa, are you from Chicago?
Yeah, I'm from the suburbs, from Brookfield.
Have you lived anywhere else?
Yeah, I lived in England for a while.
Oh, here we go.
And I dated an English guy for 2 years.
And how would you compare dating in England as opposed to dating in Chicago?
Better Honestly, accents.
Yeah, oh, so much better well, accent. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. That's the big one. But, I don't know, because I haven't done much dating in Chicago. It was actually, like, my first boyfriend, and then it was, like, a really intense long-distance thing. But I found English men overall to be very pedantic. And, I mean, that's
I don't
not,
know what that means.
Oh, just kind of, like, I don't know. Talk a lot
I'll
of
Google
talk.
It later.
Okay. Verbose. Yeah. If I say verbose and she says pedantic, will that work?
Yeah, I get verbose. I know.
Kind of know it all, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
in a dismissive way.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Ugh. And it was just the whole, you know, kind of
the humanity.
Was that because you were an American, or that's the way they talk to people?
I think the American thing was a lot of it. But it's funny because you meet, you know, English people and they're like, oh, your politics are terrible, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, I love Florida. Oh, my gosh. Can you say, you know, X, Y, or Z?
Say that again.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute. None of that goes together well.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean.
Cool accents get you far, though. I think that if you have a nice accent, you'll get away with a lot of stuff.
This is an interesting I don't know how much they would get away with, but you know, at least it draws you in a little bit.
It does. Yeah.
Esmeralda, have you dated outside of Chicago? Have you lived somewhere else?
I haven't lived somewhere else, but I dated someone who was from Philadelphia. And it was long distance.
Yes, go ahead.
How was his accent?
It was fine. He didn't have any.
That's why it didn't work.
He was closer to Jersey. That was probably maybe why.
Oh, they have some pretty severe accents. Not
he was
severe,
from a suburb too. Okay. That might have probably done it. But yeah, no, I haven't. I've only dated that guy from Philly.
From Philly. Well, 312-981. We're going to talk about Standing Rock, but I also want to know now that my curiosity has piqued, I want to know if people have dated someplace else and if there is a difference between Chicago and other cities, or where you maybe grew up and dated and then moved somewhere else. And you're like, wow, this whole dating scene is culturally just different. 312-981-7200. Because I've never, aside from college, I've only been in Chicago and Champaign.
I've dated other cities. I think there is something to be said about just there's a little more pretension on the West Coast, and in smaller towns, there's less of it. And in Chicago, I think we're more down to earth. Midwest values, I think, generally speaking, have people that are more down to earth. New York, aggressive. I think people are a lot more aggressive dating. I did that briefly. Like in your face questions, like very straightforward, almost too straightforward. You're like, why don't we just wait and see? Like, you know, I can answer questions about my birthmarks later. I mean, that never happened.
I'm asking about your birthmarks. Yeah. Well, because we had one, Rebecca had said that men, she thought that men were better at, in some ways, at dating, of locking down
in
the details in Chicago. And we had another guest on your show who said that women were better in Chicago compared to Florida, which I thought was interesting as well.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's two guests you've had independent of each other say that people are better to date here. And yet we talked to all these people who have had sort of disastrous experiences.
Yeah. It's a fun show because you never know where it's going to go. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes you and I were on one where it was basically a therapy session, I felt like, because it was a person who just broke up.
Yeah.
And in a long-term relationship. And I felt like we were just two therapists being like, well, maybe.
He had a lot to say. Yeah. He needed to say all of that.
And that happens a lot. Sometimes people are like, I don't know why I'm single. And then it's a simple thing like, have you talked to somebody? And like, no, I haven't never really initiated a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you need to do that. But
well, and I'm interested in the fact that when you ask them if they want to get married, if they see themselves getting married, and you can tell that it's conversations they've had with people they dated. I it seems like some relationships are damaged by that question almost right away. And I was telling you, I mean, there's got to be a way to answer it that so you're not consistently sabotaging yourself unless you want to, unless that's something that people want to just put out there. No, I don't want to get married. I don't see myself ever getting married. I think just simply saying I've thought about marriage leaves you open to interpretation. If you want to discuss it further, that's different.
It depends on the question that's being asked. The way that I say, you know, if someone asks, if do you want to get married? Are you looking to get married? Then, you know, honestly, I answer, it's not on my immediate radar.
Right.
But like, I mean, yeah, I think everyone's going to likely get married. But I like to ask that question to see what the...
Oh, for your guests, it makes sense. But I'm talking about like when you're dating.
Right. But it is a question that's asked, at least, you know, when you get older and you're dating, it's a question that's asked pretty early on in the dating. And
so weird.
And I think most people want to, at least most reasonable women want to know that it's going somewhere. And that's something that I never understand. Why can't you just go where it goes?
I've never asked a guy. But I mean, I started dating my husband when I was very young. So.
Well, I'm also confused. Why is going somewhere getting married?
Right. Why isn't going somewhere?
I didn't know that was the path we had to take to be happy.
Yeah, that's a good... You should talk to a lot of girls that I talk to.
I was telling him I want to consult women and say, you know...
you guys can come to dates with me and be like, I think Esmeralda's going to answer your next questions for me as my lawyer.
See, but that's the thing of like, if that's what they want to do, that's what they're going to do.
Well, fine. I think that women need to ask themselves, why are they asking that question? Let's do the news and talk. We can talk about this some more and perhaps Standing Rock. I need to do more research on this, but this is something that a lot of people are saying the media is not covering. And maybe it's because we're trying to wrap our arms around it, but it's been going on for months. There has been an enormous protest in North Dakota in regards to this pipeline that is similar to the Keystone pipeline. 312-981-7200 if you want to talk about relationships or Standing Rock. Either way, we're going to pick one when we come back. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Lisa's like, are you going to keep talking to Paul off the air? Because you could probably talk to him on the air.
Sorry.
We were talking a little bit about dating and something that came up during a podcast that Paul hosts called Singles Only. You can go to iTunes and find that there. But there were two guests that told us that men in Chicago are better at locking down dates. One guest told us that. A woman told me that told us.
Yeah.
That men are good at planning the dates and, you know, setting it all up and making reservations. And another guest who had dated women in Florida and now lives here said that he felt that women here were smarter and more sure of themselves, more confident. So I was wondering if people had found differences in, you know, dating culture, relationships that you've had in different parts of the country, perhaps parts of the world. And James wanted to join the conversation. Hi, James.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What do you want to share with us?
Oh, it sounds very interesting. I used to be very, very, very into women for a very long time.
Uh-huh. Okay. I don't know if he had more. Did he have more there?
Gigolo, I used to be into a lot of different women, so that's how come. It's just the thing is, what the fastest way to date women is called online dating. There's a lot of ways a person can... meet to hook up was called this like real speed dating, so that's what it's about.
Right. So do you try Tinder or OkCupid?
Oh. Cupid I never tried before, no.
Tinder?
And the thing is there's easy ways. What I used to was find real quick dates was finding like driving a car and meeting women at bus stops and the.
I don't know where that was going. I'm a little nervous because we had a listener last week go down one path of conversation and then it turned around.
Yeah.
So it sounded a little bit like my last week's call. James, I think we were having a little bit of trouble with the connection. So,
yeah.
But I think he was going to tell us that it was different by neighborhoods and women in Chicago, which I think that could absolutely South Side, North Side, depending, and especially if there's a different socioeconomic background, that would make sense too.
Sure, everyone's different. You can't generalize anything, but we just did. So what are you going to do about it?
We're going to generalize everything. I did want to talk, if we have a moment, to talk about the North Dakota. Is that Mike? Can you hear the microphone? Or is that just in my head that we can hear the producer's booth? Is Esmeralda on the air? No? Oh.
No. Okay.
Esmeralda, were you here last week when somebody called in and...
Yeah, I was just trying to explain to her.
Oh, yeah. Somebody had...
The deal.
Somebody went on to talk. They said they were going to talk about one thing and then they ended up talking about something else. And
right.
I was not paying attention because I was trying to do some research.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that James was, but now I'm a little bit more hesitant.
Well, I couldn't hear what he was saying. The radio was on too loud behind him.
Well, and it's also, when you call in with a concise sentence.
Yeah,
just a quick tip for you listeners out there.
And on dates, too. Be concise on dates. If you're talking to someone, make sure you have a point before you open your mouth. That's my only advice.
He had also told Lise one thing and was joining in with what seemed to be other things. So this is good. You know what? There are ways to be a good a guest on the line. These are all tips. All very good.
Yeah, all good tips.
We do dating. We do call-in tips. Because it is nerve-wracking to call into a radio station.
Sure.
Because you're not in the room and you're kind of excited about being on the air. And it's,
You don't do it for a living, so they probably get nervous. And he had a point and maybe he didn't.
And I try to be as gentle as possible.
You were very gentle.
I was trying to be very gentle. I hope I don't intimidate people.
Maybe he was pedantic.
He was not pedantic. He was.
Did I use it
he
right?
Was, he, you did not, but you said it correctly. Yes, that part worked. I do want to before we talk about anything else. Once again, I want to thank all the folks at Marie's Pizza and Liquor on Lawrence Avenue. My dad's one of my dad's favorite pizza joints. I went in there last night, and our server Susan was fantastic. And we started talking, and it turns out that Susan listens to the show, and I keep her up at night. So thank you, Susan, for tuning in. And then Nadine, who owns the establishment, also came over and talked to us a little bit. And they have live jazz some nights of the week, so Kathy was great. And it was a wonderful place to watch the game. And Elliot Serrano and I will be there again tonight. If you're not in Cleveland, you're welcome to join us.
If I'm not in Cleveland, maybe. It's far north for me, but I like to watch them at home, so because especially if they lose – I don't want anyone to see me in that zone.
I would Facebook Live it.
Yeah.
So you're probably right to not be.
But it would be good
Marie's.
To see me crying because people say I don't have emotions. That would be I'd be like, see, I do, and then it might be a win-win. But
there you go. We can prove that you're human.
Yeah.
I've been wanting for months to talk about the North Dakota protest at Standing Rock, and it's one of those things where. It's not that I'm not covering it because no one else is. I don't know quite I haven't quite understood what's going on. So I tried to do some research tonight. And this has been something that has been in the works for a couple years. They are trying to build a pipeline that would go pretty much from the Canadian border down through North Dakota, Iowa, and actually to Illinois. And this is in an effort to transport about 500,000 gallons of crude oil every day. And obviously, there are a lot of people who are concerned. One, there's the environmental concern. This particular pipeline would go through Indian Reservation territory. Mm-hmm. It was, from what I can understand from my research, Bismarck fought very hard. A lot of landowners in Bismarck and people who live there fought for it to be redirected so that their water supply would not be affected, because there has been a point where the part of the process includes using salt water, and there was a salt water leak that dumped about 800,000 gallons of salt water into the water supply, which increased their chloride content by 900% and their ammonium the ammonia content by 400%. And they're not quite sure what the long-term damage will be or ramifications. And that's something that happened within the last year. So people, I think it makes sense to be concerned that this is a pipeline that will go through the Missouri River, which provides a water supply to parts of North Dakota, including reservations. So that's some of the information that I have. This is a company that, again, wants to build through the pipeline through North Dakota, Iowa, parts of of Illinois, and there are people who are resisting. And there have been reports of people being arrested in large numbers in the last few days, and because they had run out of cell space, they had put them in kennels, dog kennels, and marked their arms with. So one of the reasons I think that I want to make sure when we talk about this, I want to start getting guests on the show, perhaps people who are in North Dakota, people who know about this more. But I think what happened last night was really interesting, because there was a report out that the police department in the that's basically heading up the protection and making sure that the protesters don't get out of hand, because there have been some violence between the protesters and the police department. They are concerned again about property damage. This is a company that has engineers and equipment ready to go to work. And yesterday there was a report that the police department was using check-ins on Facebook to track where people were going to be. So somebody put out from the Standing Rock, their government office, their headquarters, to check in there so that the police department would think that these thousands of people were coming in. They couldn't locate. I don't know.
To throw them off, basically.
Right.
It's happened before. I mean, people did that in Iran when there was a political protest. I remember that people were checking in. So people that were protesting the elections in Iran, people were to support them. You check in or you would go on there and it would throw off the military that was looking for these protesters.
Individuals.
Yeah. So it does happen. People are like, that's not going to help. It does. I mean, now there's so many. I think it's been resolved, but
over 600,000 people by Monday afternoon, and I think even if it wasn't that, people are like, oh, they were of course then posting on Facebook, this is stupid, this isn't what they're doing. Even if it's to show the people in North Dakota that there are other people paying attention, and we would like to talk about this more. We do need to know more of what's going on. Call your legislators if this is something you're concerned about, because this now does affect Illinois. I don't think people even realize that.
Well, I think that it's great that everyone's doing that for solidarity, and to the effect that it threw off the peaceful protesters. I think that's great too. But the one thing you just stepped on, exactly what I wanted to say, is if you do have an opinion on this, and not enough people that use social media is a great outlet, but you can call the North Dakota legislators, and people have put that on Facebook all over. Call them and speak. Even if you're not in North Dakota, you they will listen to you,
right?
And that's just as effective, if not more, than just clicking on Facebook, which is also effective
to start. I think that the posting and saying I'm checking in at Standing Rock, stand with Standing Rock, is a start. It's saying, okay, I'm going to be more conscious of this myself,
right,
and letting people there know this is how many people are starting to pay attention.
Yeah.
And I think, and we've talked on this show a lot about if this is not what's important to you, if this is not drawing your attention, and this is something that speaks to you that you want to know more about, or that you want to make sure that your voice or the people who are in North Dakota are being heard, there is something in your life that you know is important. And we talk about taxes. We talk about, well, the government's doing this and they're not representing me, and I don't think my voice is being heard. Just like Paul just said. Call your legislator.
Exactly.
Find out who represents you.
Call, email them. And people think that it's useless, but I worked in D.C., and they do pay attention. They have, like, when something's being voted on, they have sheets in front of them, and they check, how many people are calling about this. And guess what? Politicians are going to pay attention to stuff, because that's going to get them, number one, because allegedly they care, but mm-hmm. it's also going to help them get elected.
Right.
So,
yeah. So
they are going to listen.
Again, this is the we were talking about the North Dakota pipeline. This is going to be the proposed 1,130-mile long pipeline seeks to transport nearly 600,000 barrels of crude oil through 50 counties across 4 states. And there have been obviously a lot of court cases trying to impede or stop or put an end to it. And a lot of the court decisions have helped move the pipeline in different directions then to where people have perhaps less ability to resist. And when you say you're going to go through, and then you have, whether it's sacred grounds on the Indian reservation, or we're going to go under the Missouri River, and people are, I can't blame people for being hesitant about that. It seems
there's a lot of different interests involved in this, not just the landowners, the Indian rights and obviously oil issues. So, I mean, educate yourself and call legislators.
By the way, I misspoke earlier. The Grand Forks Herald reports that earlier in January of 2016, over 7,000 gallons of salt water, which is a waste product of oil and gas production, leaked from a pipeline in North Dakota, a different one. And this was owned by a subsidiary of Summit Midstream. What that resulted in was 3 million gallons of salt water leaking out of the pipeline. And that leak occurred in 2015. And that's when the chloride was 900 times above normal, which I mentioned earlier. And ammonia levels were found to be 400 times higher than normal. So these are things that I think is, you know, yeah, when you're saying you're going to put that through underneath your homes, underneath your water supply, I can see why people would get upset about that. And I wonder if Iowa, I know that Iowa has actually not yet given permission yet, at least at the time of one of these articles. Illinois has. We have granted the land rights for the pipeline, and I was not aware of that.
Then Illinois people, you can't vote, you can't call in.
Well,
it's too late.
My guess is that you can. Everything's possible. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm messaging with a friend of mine who would want to join the conversation. And she was saying that men do ask about marriage, by the way. She says that that she's talked.
Absolutely.
Do you, you never ask because.
No, I don't want to know.
All right. You don't want to know? Just, you like to leave it a mystery. Leave them in suspense. You want to be in suspense.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not a priority for me. So I don't know. The show is mostly. The reason I started the show is because, you know, people. I think people who are not married, there's always a stigma that, why aren't you married? And immediately. I mean, I joke about it a lot in my comedy, but it's true. Like, people find out you're single, especially at my age. People are like, why are you single? Like, it's like something's wrong with me. I mean, there is, but that's beside
the point.
Irrelevant to why I am. I mean, it's partially, but I think it's interesting to see when on the show, I like to see people's reaction as to when they say, yeah, I want to get married. And the reasons why. Like, sometimes people will be like, I can't wait to have that party. And then you're like, well,
the party, have they said that?
Yeah.
People, is that men, like, or women?
I think women have said that.
We should, it's not, that's not why you get married.
No, absolutely. And you're like, well, that's the wrong reason. But
yeah.
But it's a societal norm that, you know, and it is a great thing. I think marriage is a great institution that may or may not be outdated, but, you know. It's a good thing to talk about.
It is a good thing to talk about. I think that I wish there was a way to help people talk about it in a way that doesn't sabotage their relationships. Lise, if you have any texts coming, you can read them to us. I know that my friend might be texting through the text screen. 312-981-7200. We do have a few minutes left here, but we've been talking about a couple of things. We managed to cover a lot of ground in 2 hours.
Bouncing between
the politics and the Cubs game. And yeah, the Cubs tonight. We also have, we talk about relationships. Yes, did you...
I've got one on the pipeline.
On the pipeline, yes.
Yeah, this is from 219 area code. Listen, these pipelines have shut off valves. All this talk about spills is nonsense. We are all saying we need jobs. Well, the media has a false sense of reality on this issue.
Yeah, but the media hasn't been covering it. So my guess is you mean that I have a false sense of reality on this issue.
There's a side that it is creating.
Yes,
it's creating jobs it's creating jobs for the pipeline. It's and I did say that. I said that as well. There's a lot of issues in this, and probably why mainstream media isn't covering it is because it's so complex. There's so many different issues involved, and you know, educate yourself. And if it's something you strongly believe in,
right,
take a stand. Just so, like 219.
Yes, yeah, so exactly. You took your stand. More jobs.
Yeah,
you know. Then that's, hey, in Flint they said let's save money and use this water supply. And when the water turned brown and we're poisoning our kids, at least we saved some money.
Yeah.
So that worked out.
That one didn't work out.
I'm just saying.
Most people would say it didn't work out.
No, they wouldn't. I was being sarcastic. I was not being pedantic.
Pedantic. I was just going to say. We're using the word as much as possible.
Yes, as much as possible.
Call in and use it in a proper sentence.
Yeah.
And you'll win free tickets to my show on Friday.
Right. And by the way, 219, you know what? I just realized that my tone was somewhat dismissive, and I don't want to come across that way. I appreciate that is true, that there are a lot of different aspects to this. This, you know, we want to create jobs, and it is necessary to create jobs. You know, they're actually in Colorado. We were talking about this the other day when they legalized marijuana. They, you know, brought in over $2.7 billion in tax revenue, and they also created 18,000 jobs.
Absolutely.
So that would be, I mean, can I, you know, can I posit that as also another possibility?
You also took away jobs from criminals that are in drug dealers.
Oh, well.
Think about them.
You know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh.
But that's a good thing.
Joe, what do you want to tell us?
Oh, briefly, because I know you're up against the time slot here. Oil is drilled with a smidgen of steam. Fracking uses a bunch of water, okay? Any leakage would occur on the site of drilling. If it ever got through the pipeline, we're in deep guano because all that goes through the pipeline is pure oil. Okay?
Right. Yes. That would be a disastrous situation,
number,
of course.
Yeah, number one. Number two, are you aware how many oil wells are currently in the Gulf of Mexico?
I am not. So along with the ones that have in the past leaked and caused a huge amount of damage in the Gulf.
You get it. You hear a tremendous amount of publicity about the major catastrophes. Excuse me. 3,500. There's an article in National Geographic roughly 3 years ago. I didn't bother to dig it out. I was flabbergasted when I saw that. I had no idea that there's 3,500 oil wells in the Gulf of New Mexico. So there's obviously a lot of constraint, a lot of control on what's going on.
Right, so because if there's just that one that causes that much damage, it would stand to reason if the 3,000 must be doing well, I guess would be the... Joey, we are up against time. I just wanted to make sure do we have any text on the... And we have no other breaks, right? But I think that, yeah, that's the thing, is that this is going to be an ongoing discussion. And I think that Joe brings up a great point when it comes to the thousands, not just the thousands of oil wells that we have in the Gulf of Mexico, but all over the, look, we have, whether it's electricity or whether it's water, you know, I mentioned Flint. At any given time, our infrastructure, our bridges, there's always something that, you know, there by the grace of God, you know, hopefully everything stands as it is. And, you know, when we saw what happened in Minnesota, what was it, in 2007, 2008? The bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything can go wrong at any time. So do we stop building bridges? No, we make sure that they're built well. And when we need access, one of the reasons that they want to build this pipeline, they're saying, is to have less of a dependency on foreign oil. So that's, you know, these are things that are going to continue to be topics of conversation. So Joe, didn't mean to cut you off, but I do have to run. Paul, do you have anything you want to promote before we go?
Yeah, I have a show on Friday at the Laugh Factory called Drink Date Laugh. Just message me on Facebook or anywhere and I'll give you 2 free tickets. It's a show about dating.
Day is that?
It's Friday.
Friday night?
This Friday.
So find Paul Farvar on Facebook and message him for some free tickets for that show. Vic Vaughn is up in the newsroom. How you doing, Vic?
I'm great, Patty. How are you?
Very good. Excited? Yamped for the Cubs?
Oh,
ready to go?
Yeah,
we're
definitely.
Good. We're good. This is year.
I like our chances. Tomlin's good, though. He did all right in game 3. But I think we're going to be okay with Arrieta.
We're going to be in good shape. All right. I think so, too. I feel good. To our texter who we weren't able to get to about dating, we will have Paul on again and talk about it, I promise.